Luke chapter 11, if you open your Bibles there, we're continuing in a series on this matter of prayer, and we paused away from that because of the special Memorial Day service. But in Luke chapter number 11, we're returning really to where we introduced this subject entitled this way, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And I think it's vitally important that we ask the Lord to teach us how to pray. In this chapter, in the very first verse, you'll remember this. The disciples, after seeing Jesus pray, after hearing him pray, they looked at him and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray? Boy, the Lord decided that he would teach them. And I think this, if we'll just ask the Lord to teach us to pray, guess what? I believe God will teach us as well. We find in this passage at the very beginning what many have called the model prayer, and you'll see a little bit of that in a few verses. A more fuller version is found in Matthew chapter 6, and at some point in this series we're going to go to that, and we'll go through the different components that we find in prayer. But I want you this morning to find a principle that we'll see in the 5th through the 13th verse in this matter of prayer. And I want you to grab a hold of that this morning. If you look in your Bibles, Luke chapter 11 will stand for the reading of God's word. And beginning in verse number 5, we're going to read down through verse number 13, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I want to encourage you once again this morning to exercise faith and trust God for even more in prayer. You understand that faith and prayer go together. They're inseparable. Now I want you to notice in verse 13, a phrase, the title of this sermon, listen, how much more? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage on prayer. Lord, I pray, Father, we would trust you for so much more. Lord, help us understand exactly what it is that you're teaching here. Help us understand what it is that you're not teaching here. Lord, I pray you would challenge us from your word in this matter of prayer. Father, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Lord, they cannot enjoy that fatherly relationship that we have with God the Father. And so, Lord, I pray they would recognize that, and perhaps that there'd be one here today that would receive Christ as their Savior. For us who are born again, Lord, help us to understand that we can trust you. We can trust you in everything that we lift before you. Oh, Lord, that you'll act and move according to thy will and what's the very best for us. Father, help us to see that in this passage. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. We notice in this passage, Lord, starts out, as I said, with that model prayer components, and then he quickly transitions into a parable here, and he begins with this difficult situation that unfolds. And before we can get to the wonderful truth I want to share with you at the bottom part of the passage, we have to go through this troubling parable. And it's found in verses 5 through 8. And so if you're taking notes this morning, I'll give you the first point. There's only two this morning, praise the Lord. Number one, the parable for prayer. The parable for prayer. Notice in verse 5, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he shall say from within, shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee." But notice he says in verse 8, "I say unto thee, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend." But notice what he says, "Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as is needed." Then the word importunity in verse 8 gives the idea of this, of a pressing solicitation. You know, some folks are very good at that. They're very good at giving a pressing solicitation. And boy, they can nail you down by pressing you on a matter. It gives this idea of shameless, continual persistence. And so this parable, I want you to understand, is put in contrast with what we'll find in verses 9 through verse number 12. And I believe this, that for you and I, the problem that we often face in our prayer lives is that we too often begin to think about God as being just exactly like us. In other words, we begin to think God as a creature and not the creator. We begin to think of God as being a fallen man as we are, and not the sinless Son of God. And we forget that God is so much greater than we could ever imagine. Could I encourage you this morning that our Heavenly Father is so much greater than your mind could possibly imagine? Could I remind you that our Heavenly Father is exceedingly good and gracious and loving? He is kind and he's all wise. Numbers 23, verse 19 is very important. It says this, "God is not a man that he should lie." Aren't you glad for that? That God doesn't lie to us. And the Bible says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said, shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good?" Friends, I'll tell you, you can stand on every promise that God gives us. You can take it to the bank, as they say. Everything that's recorded for us in the Word of God, the promises that God makes to us, they're absolutely and wholly true and will come to pass. We're familiar with the verse in Isaiah 55 in verse number 8 and 9. It says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." He says, "Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And that's just a simple way of saying this. Look, God is not a man as you and I, unless we're speaking about the God-man. But see, we oftentimes in our prayers begin to think of God in the same way that we've dealt with other men. We begin to think in our prayer lives that based on how we interact with men is how God would interact with us. And we'll frame in our minds how we have dealt with others and how others have dealt with us. And we think that's the way it's going to be in prayer. In other words, as I said, we think of God as a creature and not the creator. Now, this is seen in the parable where the Lord does this. He emphasizes our earthly relationships and the situations that you and I would run into most often. And then he contrasts that with his exceeding goodness. Notice with me about this parable of prayer that the Lord demonstrates the success of persistence in this world. I want you to know that the Lord is commending to you and I this morning the need for careful persistence, but at the same time helping us to understand that our Heavenly Father is not unkind. And so we see, first of all, about this parable for prayer, number one, the serious situation. Now, it begins here that says this, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come in his journey and I have nothing to set before him. See, the Lord begins in this parable by speaking of a serious situation. Now, I thank the Lord this morning that you and I can rejoice, and I think we should thank them as well, the fact that we have some midnight friends. How many of you, by raise of a hand, can say this, I have some midnight friends? Aren't you glad for midnight friends? And it also reminds us of this, listen carefully, how blessed it is to be a part of a local New Testament church. Can I remind you this morning that we're surrounded here at Liberty Baptist Church by midnight friends and family? What a wonderful thing that is. You know, many people do not realize what kind of support they truly have in the family of God, and more specifically at a local New Testament church. I believe this, if many would realize that, the church houses would be a lot fuller, wouldn't they? That's right. So many times this is what we would have folks come by the church house and at the former place I was at, they'd come by and they would knock on the door and I'd answer the door, or they'd be ushered into my office and they would be there for some kind of assistance. Perhaps they were needing food. Perhaps they were needing their bills paid for in their apartment. Perhaps they couldn't afford their electricity, whatever the needs were, they would come by and there they were sitting in my office. They tell me all that happened to him, all that befell him, and their need for assistance. And I would simply ask him this question: are you a child of God? Are you a born-again Christian? And do you know this, that most of the time, almost 100% of the time, they would give the answer of yes, I've trusted in Christ as my personal Savior. Many times it was, they'd say this, I used to go to this church back 20 years ago. And then I would ask them after that, since you're a child of God, I would say this, are you a member of a local church somewhere? And do you know this? That almost 100% of the time they would say this, they give me the sad answer, no. Friends, let me remind you this morning that this local church is a blessing indeed. Every time we get to come together as a family, we're reminded that we're joined together by the blood of Christ. And so we notice in this parable, going back to it, listen, this is a situation that's serious. And could I say this, that the Lord craftily gives us this, that every one of us can identify with this parable. Every one of us have serious situations that arise in our lives. And the truth is, every one of us have situations where we come up short, don't we? And this is what the Lord's speaking about, this serious situation. Here, the one in this parable had a friend come to him at midnight, and he was not able to provide for that visitor that had come to him. So what does he do? What do you do in a situation like that? Well, notice the Bible tells us in verse number 5 that he went to his other friend at midnight. Now, not only do we have a serious situation, but secondly, we have a sudden problem. And this problem was unexpected. How many, by saying amen, say this, you've had a problem come up unexpected in your life? Amen. How many would understand this? This problem was not only unexpected, but this individual was unprepared. So we have an unexpected problem, and then we compound that with the fact that he's unprepared. But can I say this? The timing was undesired as well. It was at midnight. Now, in this culture, oftentimes people would travel in late hours to avoid the heat. And again, we can identify with running into problems that are unexpected, can't we? We can identify with running into problems for which we're unprepared. And many of us would say this, oftentimes the timing is undesired as well. And this is simply what the Lord is saying. I want you to keep in the back of your mind that as the Lord is unfolding this parable, what he's doing, he's teaching us about persistence in prayer, but he's also teaching us about our Heavenly Father. He describes the serious situation. He describes, secondly, the sudden problem, but then we run into this kink in the plan, a selfish reaction. Notice in verse number 7 at the selfish reaction. In the parable it says, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Can I tell you that this parable is not, listen carefully, is not given to portray God the Father as unwilling to answer our prayers. So we may read this and think, well, we have to continually pester God for him to do anything about what I'm seeking him for. No, that's not what this parable is about. In fact, this parable is actually given to emphasize the exact opposite. The story that the Lord has given is put in direct contrast with what follows the reality of the situation when it comes to you and I praying and seeking his face. Listen carefully. True prayer is not based on friendship. True prayer is based on sonship. True prayer is not based on friendship. It's based on sonship. Did you know that the Lord is revealing to us in this parable, really what he's showing us is the nature of our own thoughts? The nature of our own thoughts, oftentimes not verbalized, things that we think concerning our time of prayer. When the Lord uses this parable, he is using a special type of story that you and I can identify with. It's something accessible. It's something familiar to us. It's something that perhaps has even happened to us or could happen to us. And in this culture and in this day, it would be customary for a friend to be hospitable to the traveler that comes under his roof. And so this very fact tells us that we can understand what's being said here. And please don't think I'm being unkind when I say this, but how many times have we felt like this, that the Lord is either not listening to what we're saying, or number two, we felt like this, that he is unwilling to move on our behalf? How many times have we allowed the thought to creep into our minds that if I just bug the Lord enough, he'll finally help me? But he really is just like this man who has more important matters to attend to. All of us could testify of the experience of praying day by day for weeks or even years with no kind of answer we'd even desire. But can I tell you, God is not a man. And can I tell you also that God's delays are not denials. He's teaching us something in the delay, do you know? There's so much that we do not know that we must learn. George Mueller, if you've ever heard that name before, he was a man who had a reputation of a remarkable prayer life. And he could more than any other person, I believe this, show the proof that God answers prayer in the moment. Many times as he managed this large orphanage, he would sit down at the dinner table with no food. All these young mouths in front of him, he'd pray right there on the spot. And there comes a knock at the door. Over and over again, over and over again in the life of George Mueller, he demonstrated this simple truth that God answers prayer in the moment. But he said this. He said, the stops as well as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And of course, he's referencing Psalm 37:23 that says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. You see, George Mueller realized this wonderful truth that you and I must realize as well. And that is this, that the Lord is always doing what is best for him and for others as well that we pray for. You see, that sets us up for the second point. We have not only the parable for prayer, but number two, if you're taking notes, the promises for prayer. Look there with me in verse number 9, and you see the promises that God gives. He says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, we're going to look at the rest of the verses here in just a moment because we must, listen carefully, take the whole of what the Lord is teaching. Listen, you get in trouble when you wrest a couple of verses out of their context and begin to think certain things. Now, our Savior is no more speaking in parables at this point, starting in the 9th verse, and the Lord challenges you and I this morning with three areas of our prayer life. He says, ask. He says, seek. And he says, knock. Now, the verb that's used there for ask, seek, and knock literally means this: ask and keep on asking. He says, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, and that simple truth is this: that there's no shortage of things that you and I need to pray about on this side of eternity. There'll never be an end to it. But can I tell you this? There's no shortage to God's power either. There's no shortage to God's goodness. There's no shortage to His mercy and grace. In fact, Isaiah 59:1 says this: behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Bible tells us about God in Ephesians 3, in verse 20 and 21, that He's able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You say, what are we asking for? Well, we're asking for our needs and for the needs of others, aren't we? Sometimes we're not just asking for needs. Sometimes we're asking for wants and for the wants of others. And by the way, let me just say, that's okay. You can ask for wants. There's no problem with that. God knows how to give good gifts to His children. Sometimes we're seeking. What are we seeking? Oh, we're seeking for guidance. We're asking the Lord to direct us, to give us wisdom. How many would testify this morning that there's a situation in your life right now where you need some wisdom from the Lord? You need some guidance from the Lord. And the Lord says, seek and you shall find. What are we knocking for, or why are we knocking? Well, because there's a door that's closed in front of us that must be opened. Perhaps there's a door closed in front of you right now. I'm reminded of Paul the Apostle in Colossians chapter 4, in verse 3, he says this: with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. You'd think Paul would be praying to get out of the prison house. No, he was praying to be able to open his mouth and preach the gospel. Boy, what a testimony. All of these areas are areas we pray about, aren't they? Asking, seeking, and knocking. And the Lord says to you this morning, listen, ask and keep on asking. He says, seek and keep on seeking. He says, knock and keep on knocking. You see, in each of these areas, the fact is, whether we're asking, whether we're seeking, whether we're knocking, it's all the same. We must persistently and boldly pray and ask God the Father. And so that leads me to point number one, the principle to pray. The Lord is telling us this morning, as we are being taught to pray and seeing as how we've taken the time and said, Lord, teach us to pray. He tells us this morning, in all points and in all times and in all situations, you and I must do what? We must pray. The Lord says, if you'll ask, you will receive. If you'll seek, you will find. If you'll knock, it will be open. Now, at first, we may question the validity of that statement, wouldn't we? You might be thinking, I can hear your thoughts right now. You're saying, Pastor, oh, I've asked for something in times past and did not receive it. I've sought for guidance before and have not been given guidance. Oh, I've asked God to open a door and it was not opened. That leads me to point number two. Not only the principle to pray, but the promise to provide. Notice in verse number 9, in verse number 10, he says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you were to stop right there in verse number 9, in verse number 10, you wouldn't get the whole of the message because you'd be missing verses 11 through 13. Now, in my Bible, you will have blue letter print. It signifies the Lord speaking. You need to take the whole passage from 5 all the way down to 13 to understand what the Lord's teaching about this matter of prayer, and that's this promise to provide. Listen, we cannot wrest the scriptures out of their context. There's verses that precede 9 and 10, and there are verses that follow 9 and 10. So what does he say about this instruction of prayer in this passage? Number one, if you're taking notes about the promises God will provide, we must remember the relationship. Number one, the relationship. Look up at verse number 2 just for a minute, just so I can show you when he begins to teach on this subject. Verse 2, the Lord says this, and he said unto them, when you pray, say this, our Father, which art in heaven. He says, listen, you need to remember our relationship to our Father, which is in heaven. Now, the question the Lord raises is this, is will an earthly father give an earthly son a stone if he's asking for bread? Now, we'd say, no, that would be unkind, wouldn't it? You know, sometimes it is that we forget who we are and who God is, isn't it? We forget who we're speaking to. How many times in your young life, and if you did this, don't tell me, but how many times in your young life did you go in and instead of politely asking mom or dad something, you went in and you're going to give this to me right now, like that. How many times did you do that to your dad or mom? I can tell you, if I did that, I'd be through the wall on the other side. But we wouldn't think for a moment as a child of going into our Father and demanding of Him, this is what you'll do for me and this is how you're going to do it. How many times did you say to Dad while you're still under his roof, while you're still eating his food, while you're still living in the house that he gave you to live in, sleeping on the bed that he provided for you, how many times did you say this, Dad, I know this is what you've said, but you're wrong, and you obviously don't know what you're doing. I don't think this happened really. And the Lord says we must remember this when we pray. Friends, we must remember the relationship we have with God the Father through our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the greatest truths you'll ever learn concerning prayer is this simple truth, that you're a child of God and He's your Heavenly Father. So simple, yet so profound, isn't it? We can cry out to God the Father. And can I say two things about the Father relationship? Number one, fatherly love is taken for granted often. Number two, fatherly wisdom is often discovered later. And so it is with you and I when we pray and when we seek the Lord's face. We have not only the relationship, but can you write this down? The responsibility. The responsibility. Now the Lord has designed the family. There's no doubt He's designed mother, He's designed father to take care of their children. This is true in our earthly families, though sometimes, unfortunately, it's not taken as seriously as it should be, but God will call to account all parents for their children they've been given, there's no doubt. And so when we look at this comparison and understand that a father who loves his child would certainly listen and provide what his child has need of. You see, the three examples the Lord gives is in every situation, it has to do with sustaining sustenance. Has to do with something that is direly needed. And in each case, the idea is an earthly father would be terrible indeed to give their son or daughter a rock for a bread, or a serpent for a fish, or a scorpion instead of an egg. What kind of father would do that? Well, because of the responsibility and love of the father for his children, he would never do that. Did you know that God has chosen to obligate himself to us as our Heavenly Father? He chose to do that. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30 through 32 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. You might put in there idolaters instead. For all these things do the idolaters seek, to be clothed, to be fed, the riches of the world. But God says this, your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of those things. And so that brings us to the third point. And that is simply this, the reward. Notice in verse number 13, the reward. He says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, there's the phrase, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, notice what he says, the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Can I say to you that God has given you and I as a child of God the greatest gift we could ever receive? That's his indwelling presence. His indwelling presence. And by the way, let me connect this with you in this passage to Matthew chapter number 4. You might be thinking Matthew chapter 4, if you're a good student of the Bible, you might know what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus enters in to his public ministry after being baptized. And the Bible tells us in the very first verse of Matthew 4 that he is led, listen, of the Spirit into the wilderness. For what purpose? To find all kinds of bread on the ground? No, to be tempted of the devil. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. That God's Spirit leads the Lord Jesus Christ into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This is the very first action of the Lord after his baptism, entering into his public ministry. He's led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but the last place I want to head into is a place of desert, and the last thing I want to do is go into direct confrontation with the devil himself. But this is where the Lord Jesus is led. And the very first thing the Lord is challenged with in verse number 3 of chapter number 4 in Matthew, when the tempter came to him, he said this, listen carefully, if thou be the Son of God, listen to the words, command that these stones be made into bread. You remember just a minute ago we read in our passage, if a son shall ask of bread of any of father, will he give him a stone? And here the very first thing. Now, what was the Lord's response to the devil? That's so important. Matthew 4:4, he answered and said unto them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Lord says this, I've got something better, devil, than a loaf of bread. I have my God's word. And God says to you and I this morning, guess what I've given you? I've given you my indwelling presence. I've given my Spirit within you. He's telling us, I will take care of you. I will answer your request, not just for bread, but by a far shot. How an earthly father who is evil takes care of his earthly son who is evil. I excel in that so much beyond. You see, the Lord told the devil, in effect, in the desert, listen, my Father hears and takes care of me. You go take a hike. You see, my friend, could I tell you about God's promises to us concerning persistent prayer? He says, ask and it shall be given you. Well, he didn't give me exactly what I asked for, Pastor. Friend, did you give your children everything they asked for? Everything that your child came along and said, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want, and I want it now. Did Jesus say, okay? No. He says, seek and you shall find. Well, I haven't got the answer I've been seeking for. Maybe you need a different answer. Maybe it's not the time for that answer. And he says, knock, and it will be opened unto you. You say, Pastor James, I've been praying that God would open this door and it just remains shut. Maybe the very best thing for you in all the world is for that door to stay shut in your life. And God the Father, who loves his children, knows the things you do not. And he knows how to care for you. Friend, God does not sleep. He never shuts his door. He does not ignore us for someone else. He does not think it's a trouble to hear or to grant. And though man sometimes is not really able to help you, yet God is always both willing and able. What we have to understand is the Lord will always do, listen, the Lord will always do what is the very best for us in relation to our prayers. The lesson for you and I is to continue persistent in prayer and allow God to change you from the inside out. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've given up on prayer. Could I challenge you to get back to praying? Maybe you're here this morning, you'd have to say, you know what? I've stopped praying for someone or I've stopped praying for some situation because I believe it's hopeless. Could I encourage you to get back to praying with the knowledge that God knows how best to answer your prayer. Maybe lastly, for others, you realize you don't have a relationship with God. You can't say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Maybe for you, you've never been born again. You never entered into the family of God. I would challenge you this morning to come forward and receive Christ as your Savior. You can be born again this day. Listen, there is a difference on how God deals with those who are His children and those who are not. There's a difference. Here's the good news. You too can enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Have peace with God. Now He'll take care of you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly